Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, welcome to this week's Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with my guest, the complex and wonderful Ray Peacock. And this is quite an extraordinary podcast for lots of reasons. Some strange stuff goes on, and but I do have to warn you that towards the end, Ray does discuss a suicide attempt in some detail. And so if that's the kind of thing that would bother you, please do not listen to this week's show. We've made the decision to put it out because I think, I hope it will be helpful to some people. And I think it's quite positive in a lot of ways. But if you disagree and are the kind of person who doesn't want to hear that, then the easiest way around this is for you not to listen to this podcast. And the beauty of podcasts is you can't just crash into them halfway through. So it's up to you whether you want to listen to it or not. But it's a good podcast, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. A man is shaking his head looking at me backstage. Will you please welcome Richard Herring? Thank you very much. Lovely to be here. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Some of the cool kids, though, they've loved the Indian fans of the show. I've started calling Rahalashtapa. And so it's good. Are you back this week? Yeah, hello. He loves it so much he's come back for 2 weeks. 2 weeks in a row. Do you want to... I don't know if I... We could, there you are. Look there. How are you doing? Are you having a nice time in England? What is your best thing you've seen in England so far? Wow.
The comics.
That was good. A good answer. Are you only seeing comedy while you've been here? Or are you going to, have you been to the Tower of London? You go to the Tower of London, it's really good. They have like beef eaters there. But they don't eat beef. No, they don't. Do they have beef eaters? I don't know. That might be. Somewhere they have beef eaters. They're hilarious, whoever they are. That was my tourist's advice. Go to, tell you where you should go. British Museum. It's really good. You can see a lot of the stuff that should be in your country. but we got it. Anyway, to do that. Let's go. I think we'll crack straight on. I was going to talk about Adventures of a taxi driver. I'll briefly talk. It's like a confession. You know the Confessions of the Window Cleaners franchise? So it's like these 1970s awful, slightly saucy films. Because in the 1970s, if you want to see a picture of a bare lady, it was really difficult. And so it was embarrassing to go to a porn film, so you'd go to a kind of a comedy thing and there'd be some naked breasts in it. But it's so... You could re-edit that film... Adventures of a Taxi Driver, take off the kind of quirky music and put on sinister music, and it is the most disgusting rapey thing you have ever seen. It was just like placing a bloke turning the camera and going, yeah, she wants it, and then kind of following into a house carrying her parcels, and it's this awful. And also everyone, you know, the Barry Evans, who was in Mind Your Language, one of my favourite sitcoms as a child, again, you probably would like that one. It was very popular around the world, and he died, he had his career kind of went wrong, and then he became a mini cab driver in real life. And then he was, it was unclear how he died, but basically somehow he got a bad head injury and died at the age of 53. And one of the women he was in a bath with romping around with in this kind of joyless sex scene had killed herself by drinking drain acid. So I'd quite like to re-edit Adventures of a Taxi Driver and just kind of put up little things saying, he died in a terrible way. She drank poison and died. And Robert Lindsay appeared in 120 episodes of My Family. It becomes like a work of art if you do that. Honestly, it's worth looking at just to have an idea of how far we've come in this country and how far we haven't come as well. Yeah, think about it. So my guest today, he's probably better... It's going to be quite a feminist podcast, I'm guessing. He is probably best known as Billy Taft from Doctors. That is why you're all here. It's Ray Peacock, ladies and gentlemen. Here he comes. Ray Peacock. Billy Taft. Ray Peacock, if that is your real name.
Hello. Hi. You've got to record it.
Yeah.
Because the last time we did an interview together, you didn't record it.
No. Well, we tried, but it went...
I have my coat on,
It went wrong, and it wasn't George's fault that time, because we were in Edinburgh that time.
What was it?
Well, not mine.
I think
it was something to do with the stand system.
I don't know what I've done. I appear to have done it like an old lady. I sat down and go, right, go on. I'll chat to you.
You brought your coat on. It's quite warm up here. My sweat stains from last week.
I noticed that in the dressing room, but I didn't mesh it.
They were weird. They've sort of come. This is good, though. This is Mr. Poopy Butthole from Rick and Morty.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, you should watch that if you don't watch. Do you watch Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
It's good. So Ted is my favourite.
I'm surprised I could switch it off to come here today, isn't it?
He's my favourite sitcom character.
What is it?
Mr. Poopy Butthole. It's quite complicated, but it's an episode.
Looks it.
It's like, the sitcoms are basically a bit like Back to the Future. It's an old scientist and a young boy who travel around and
Do you know what? Yeah. It's so genuinely weirdly, I've just been to Forbidden Planet and you know the shop.
Yeah.
And
as have most of our audience.
You were already watching the first one when I was in there. I avoided the rush, and I overheard people talking.
Yeah,
and I presume about that because they were saying he was going, oh, it's based on Back to the Future, and she went, oh, is that why it's a man and the Doctor and all that? That might be the same.
Really
thing.
Good. It's all on YouTube. You can look at it in bad quality on YouTube.
What's a YouTube?
get into it. It's good. And then in one episode, there's all these characters that appear out of nowhere who can only exist because you imagine them or whatever, and then they become real. And one of them, well, actually, I have to give a major spoiler, but in that episode, Mr. Poopy Butthole is one of the characters in the house. And then
is that like a polymorph in Red Dwarf?
Maybe, I don't know. I didn't really watch Red Dwarf because, you know, I'm not an idiot.
I have to watch it every week. I'm working on it at the moment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the other night, and the audience weren't great. And they really weren't. And I was a bit giddy as well because I'm not allowed to tell anyone, right? I told a woman on the train today, right? I went to start, they're filming Star, not filming it, they're in pre-production of the next Star Wars there, and they've still got some stuff from the old Star Wars there. They were filming Open All Hours next door, and Johnny Vegas is in Open All Hours.
Yeah.
And I've known Johnny for a long time, and he said, I've befriended I befriended the security guards.
Right.
Right. And which, he, if you know Johnny, he does. He just does do that. He befriends people.
He does.
And he just took me down and we went in. I've got all the photos on my phone and it was, I was just like, fuck Red Dwarf. Like, that's how I felt about it. So yeah. I might have not been at my best the other night. But you'd expect it to be full of fans. And it's not. It wasn't the other night. And halfway through the episode, it was a brilliant episode, really good, but the audience were a bit flat. And they asked me to ask the audience what a polymorph is, which is a really famous thing in Red Dwarf,
yeah.
Right? And I said, do you want to know what a polymorph is? Five of them knew.
Wow.
And it was that moment of going, well, that's why. They don't even know what this is. They just applied for free tickets and they fucking come and ruined it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was horrible.
Yeah, that
horrible.
Used to happen to some Fist of Fun quite a lot. We just get,
just nobody knew what it was.
Well, they didn't know what it was.
Or what it was supposed to be.
But we would get.
Why this had been commissioned.
We get the overspill from like some.
Of course, yeah,
from something
yeah.
else.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some lots of middle-aged people sitting there, which like, now would now be me. But like,
yeah. So you used to get audience from like a successful thing.
Yeah. Who failed to get into the thing they wanted to get into, and then came in to see a load of stupid men in a cellar swearing
at
some man in a dirty
T-shirt. And even
t-shirt.
Then, I bet some weeks it was still half empty. People going, no, I don't want to see that. Don't want to see it.
It was. Well, you do a lot of warm-ups. Let's talk about warm-ups because you've
I
done.
I do less do now you? Than I used
well,
to.
Well, you've done a lot of shows in the past. Yeah. You did. We had. John Robbins on, he was talking about Deal or No Deal. And no,
I got sacked off that.
Yeah, he got sacked off that twice. He was talking about. He went.
Fuck
he got
Robbins.
Sacked,
how
he
did
got
he do
sacked,
that?
He got sacked. And
how did he do that?
He'll have to listen to the podcast to find out. He got sacked and then they forgot and had him back and then he got sacked.
They forgot?
Again. Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't forget my one.
What did you do? Can you talk about it?
Wasn't even my fault. Like, it actually wasn't my fault. There were two things. One is I opened a box I wasn't meant to open. And. Apparently that cost them thousands in production fees. And the other thing is, I've spoken about this in my stand-up as well, right? You know if you spent a big chunk of your life shouting cock at the telly when Noel Edmonds is on? Right? And then one day in real life, he's just there. It's Pavlov's dog, isn't it? You can't even... And I've not even broke my non-disclosure on that, because I've changed three letters in that story. Do you know what the reason they gave? The actual reason they gave was they said that I went through someone's bag in the audience with their knowledge,
yeah,
and that I got their sandwiches out and passed them around the audience.
Right.
Right? That is true. I did do that. But I did that the first show I ever did. It was the first show.
Right.
And I carried on doing it for like 6 months afterwards. So they obviously had gone, we need something. We need something to get rid of this bloke. And so they went back to show one.
Right.
And the really annoying thing was I wanted to quit the night before and I'd rang my agent, James, and I said, look, I can't do this anymore. I hate it. I don't enjoy the environment. I'm sure it's fine for some people. But for me, it felt, personally, it felt slightly misogynistic in there is what it felt. And it didn't sit well with me. And that I'd be around the back and the cameramen would be zooming in on girls' boobs and things like that. You know, and it felt just a bit uncomfortable to me. There weren't many girls there. It was a very male environment. So I didn't like it. And I told my management, I was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be there anymore. And he went, look, this is the last of the block that you're doing. And when they come in with a new block, we'll just say, you know, he's too busy or whatever. He can't do it. But, you know, in the future, whatever. He says that a lot, my manager, to people. He goes, well, maybe in the future. He said it to fucking Fubar the other day. Right. He's on the phone to Food Bar the other day and he said, maybe in 6 months he'll miss it. Right. I was like, why did you say that? And he sacked me the next day.
Right.
And I was like, I was going to quit. But yeah, that was that.
Have you left Food Bar as well?
I have left Food Bar, yes. I have left Food Bar.
You lasted a long time at Food Bar.
Not technically I didn't.
Okay.
Because I was like, I was in and out of there.
Right.
Because it was me and Ed first of all, and then we stayed when you lot all went. Weirdly, because one of the things I was saying, because a lot of it's to do with John Gaunt, and you were all going, oh, John Gaunt's on and all that.
Yeah.
And I was going, well, I think, if it's going to be a free speech, radio station, then you've got to have all that in it as well. You know, he's got to be that. Much as I don't like the man or whatever, I think, he's been in his time good at what he does.
To be fair, I wasn't pitched the job as being a free speech radio. I was pitched as being a comedy regular comedy. So when it all started changing into lots of non-comedians coming into it...
And, it felt weird, that,
and
didn't
and
it?
And then just deliberately kind of controversial.
Yes, and then... Well, yes. Well, there was... I remember a thing where they wanted us to do... I don't even know if you did this. It was around Easter time. And they wanted to make an Easter show.
Right.
And it was all... They were saying, and will you say this? It's like, no.
Oh, yeah, I think
no,
they
I don't
did.
Want
yeah,
to say those yeah. things, you know. So we didn't do it. But I actually believe in what they're doing. I just couldn't bear it anymore. It was just like... I felt like I was losing it because I don't live down here. I don't live in London, so I felt like I was losing an entire day to this thing that I was increasingly not enjoying. Mm-hmm. It just became hard work. So I don't really have. I believe in what they're doing. I think they're at heart nice people, mm-hmm. the people that run it. I think they have naiveties that they don't really know what they're doing. I think they've come in under a tremendous amount of flack. Like the whole John Gaunt business, that it took the station to its knees, and it's their fault. You know, it's their fault for pandering to this out of control egomaniac. It's their fault. You know, you've got to either slap them down or yeah. you know, and they didn't. So it damaged the station potentially irreparably.
Right.
And I only went back because the head of FUBAR rang me up and said, I've just sat John Gaunt, do you want his show? And I went, fucking yes, yes. Didn't even discuss money. It's like, yes, definitely. And can we? And his show was called No Nonsense with John Gaunt, so I called mine Some Nonsense with Ray Peacock.
People may not be entirely aware what FUBAR is and who John Gaunt
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, dare say they wouldn't
em.
Be. Yeah. don't like, Google it.
Have you seen?
Not FUBAR's fine, but don't Google Gaunt.
Have you seen the big poster of John Gaunt on the M4?
Do you know what? I have, and do you know why I have?
Why?
Because you sent it to me. That's why. You sent it to me on my phone. And I was like, I don't want to know. I just don't want to know. Yeah, I think somebody gave him that, didn't they? Some.
Yeah. He's a very interesting man. Let's not talk about him again. I had to cut loads of stuff out again last time I talked about him. Anyway, let's move on. So
What are they chatting about?
They've had a couple of drinks. They're very excited about...
What's up?
They're just very excited about
pointing at her bosoms.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a badge. Sorry, yeah. I apologise. Sorry.
Look at the badge, not the bosom.
She's got a very unusual nipple.
The badge is on the bosom. I can't see for the lights. What does the badge say? What does it say? Fucking Ace, your fans, aren't they? I've paid £1, so I will talk all the way through it. If I want to, I am technically an executive producer. That's brilliant, by the way. That is a brilliant idea. Makes them feel like they're relevant.
There are two attractive women on the front row of this audience. Don't spoil it for these blokes who have never... Yeah. They can't believe what's happening. Can't believe what's happened today. You are 42 years old.
Thanks.
Are you still doing podcasts and stuff? Grow up. I can't believe you're 42.
Really?
Yeah.
How old did you think I was?
I thought you were about 25 or something. Just
why?
Lived a terrible life. I thought you were... I thought you were still in your... I don't know, just because I've forgotten how old I am is part of the problem.
Well, you just count back from that Edinburgh show where you said you were 40. It's like, so I did that. Oh, fuck, I'm 40. 1, 2, 3, 4. 42, yes.
Yeah, it's good, though, isn't it, to be still a childish idiot?
I don't think that... Will that go? I don't think that will go, will it?
I don't know. I think it might.
I think the problem is I think some people pretend to be it.
Yeah.
And only, like, true... I don't know what the political correct word is, but only truly childish people
yeah.
know that, you know, some people do it for career reasons or they'll do it, for, you know, to present a certain persona.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, I would certainly hope so anyway, that it just doesn't go away, that. Yeah. It doesn't matter how old you are. I'm not bogged down in age at all.
No.
Although I've been going through a period recently of saying I'm 24 for no reason. Just saying it to everyone, how old are you, 24? And you say it with real authority.
Yeah.
And just see if people believe you or not.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Well, you, like me, you've kept your hair. And
yeah.
that is, that you can get away with it.
I've not kept all of it. I left some of it.
Have you?
Tony and guys.
Cut some off.
Did that alienate the plebs?
£50 for that haircut.
No, it wasn't, because I moved out not long ago and I went to the Tony and guys that's nearby and they tell me I get 25% off because I'm a new customer. Yeah. So I'm just going to keep moving. Because you travel around the country, you just keep going, I've just moved in nearby. And if they've all got that offer...
Yeah. Good thinking.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Still quite expensive, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. For this, yes.
According to Wikipedia, you got married this summer.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah.
I've had no comment on that.
In Cumbria.
Whereabouts in Cumbria?
I want to say Ambleside.
I've read that, yeah. I've been to Ambleside.
Yeah. Do you know Eddie Joe Murray? Your
Eddie?
Wife? Yeah.
Eddie?
Is that one of Edie?
You think my my female partner is called Eddie? Edie. How many D's are there in it, Richard?
There's one.
Eddie. I'd go with Edie on that then, would you? Fucking hell, Oxford. Yeah, Oxford all the way, this lad. Yeah. Edie, I do know Eddie Joe Murray. I'm aware of her, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I got.
Yeah, you'd have a wedding ring if you were married.
Fuck it, look at Columbo over here. You're brilliant.
Oh, but you could have taken off because you're divorced. You could have so got married.
Well,
when
was it? This summer I got married.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I'm divorced already.
Could be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If she's got any sense.
That's one of the things with her, she hasn't. But in a very endearing way.
No.
I don't know.
Okay, you don't know if you got married.
Well, I do know if I got married or not.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's relevant. I'll tell you the absolute truth.
Yeah.
But I don't want to ruin the game.
Okay.
Is that it's being suggested in certain quarters that I have been, that I've got married. And it's being suggested in other quarters that I've not. You know, we talk about being childish. Right. This is how I've filled the last 6 months, right? I didn't put that on Wikipedia, though.
Right.
But she did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So flattering, she
yeah,
says.
It's up in the air about whether we're actually married or not.
Wow.
But I'm not the marrying kind.
No, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but isn't that weird?
But, you know, I
mean, it's a stupid mystery, isn't it? It's like people go, I don't give a shit if you marry me. I'm aware of that, but it's
we're
fun.
Just amazed.
It's fun for me to have, like, ex-girlfriends text you out the blue and go, but you wouldn't marry me. It's like, oh.
You might get married. I was 46 or 45 when I got married? I can't remember.
No count from the show.
Yeah, 45 maybe.
Were you going to get married? Were you ever going to get married though? Was it a thing for you?
I think when I assumed I would get married when I was young, and I assumed I'd have a family when I was younger.
Yeah.
And then, but then once I got to be an adult, I
knew what that entails.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't really want to, I don't think, for a long time. And then I met my wife, and then, you know, eventually she wore me down.
Yeah. That's. It's whether or not would true love actually want to wear you down?
No,
I'm not. No, I know, but I know your missus and that, and I know that it's a real thing. I know she exists. And, no, but you know, I think it's interesting when you think about that. When you think about how your attitude changes to that sort of thing, but I'm not sure my attitude has changed to it.
No.
I do think it's a.
No, I did
a completely pointless thing.
I mean, yeah. I did think that. See, and I, but then having met my wife, I did.
Okay, fair enough. I what I'd say is if I'm not married now,
if you're not,
I'd say this one is the most likely.
Okay, well that's nice.
Is what I'd say. She said to me last night, "Would you have a tattoo of my name?" And I said yes, and she said, "That's all I need to know." And then I did it, and she was like, "What the fuck have you done?" I didn't do it, but yeah,
it'd be nice to have a little baby to run around with, wouldn't it?
No, that would be hideous.
Little version, no, baby
no,
version
no, no,
of
not
your
at all.
Face,
no,
on a little baby.
No, we're both quite seriously mentally ill, and those two things going together would make a proper mega mental.
Okay.
And that it wouldn't be fair on that child. We agree on that. Absolutely agree on that. That no matter how broody we got, and I don't at all, but is that we're both too head fucked to make a proper head fucked baby.
Right.
Genuinely true.
Yeah. Well,
not funny, but true.
Yeah, I'm not sure it necessarily would work that way. I mean, I suppose genetically...
Of course it would.
Yeah.
Why, are you saying we're putting it on?
No.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
I know,
in,
but
in
it
you.
It doesn't necessarily...
It's in the genes. So
yeah, but it doesn't necessarily follow through. I mean, it's a fine choice.
Okay, thank you.
There's too many people in the world. But babies are really cute, though.
I thought you were going to say, but babies are really small. I mean, how much room is that going to take up? I mean, that's my knowledge. Babies are really small. Another bit,
small
a bit bigger.
With. They're nice.
Yeah.
And you'd be, I just think you'd be, you know, you'd be you're kind of fun. You'd be a fun dad.
I'd be an awful dad. I've got loads of toys in my house.
I know, that's why it'd be fun.
Like, no, because I would be saying you can't touch them. You can't get away from that weird thing when you're pointing at toys and saying, that is not a toy. And it's like, it is a toy. So children would gravitate towards it. No, not at all. That okay. Obi-Wan Kenobi figure's staying as it is. Arrived last Friday. Hot Toys Obi-Wan Kenobi. Never thought I'd be sexually aroused by Alec Guinness. It was like, it's perfect, Richard.
Me.
Yeah. That's normally where you go, let's have an emergency question.
Let us have an emergency question. I could ask. I think I've already asked you about the Muppets before, because you are a fan of the Muppets, so I won't ask you that one.
Well, my two obsessions are Muppets and Star Wars. Yeah. They're my two in tandem ones that have been long-term obsessions.
If you could do the Muppet version of Star Wars, would you watch it? And who would be...
What?
If they do the Muppet Christmas Carol, they could do the Muppets Star Wars.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Who would be Han Solo?
They've done that already. It's actually been done. Not as a show, but they've got figures and stuff of them already. I think the present Muppets are a blasphemy to humanity. Yeah. I think often when I'm watching the present Muppets, I can't hear a lot of it for Jim Henson spinning in his grave. It's like, I think it's disgusting what they've done with the Muppets.
Yeah, I get
genuinely angry about it.
The films or the TV series? All of it.
Anything from the film, the reboot film onwards. Yeah. Like everyone's going, oh, it's brilliant, the reboot. It was dog shit. It was awful, that film, for so many reasons. Really, as a Muppet fan, so many reasons. The main reason with that was, I'll tell you what it did wrong more than anything else, and I apologise for the language, but it's relevant, is that film, the one that, you know, the big one that came out, they succeeded in making Kermit a cunt. and that shouldn't ever be a thing in the Muppets. Kermit would never have turned his back on the Muppets. And the premise of that film was that Kermit was living on his own in a big mansion and all the Muppets. Someone was sleeping on the street. Wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened. It's an incorrect. I genuinely believe I'm angry about it. The problem with it is, you can sort of laugh it off and stuff, but it's a legacy. No, it's a legacy. It's an important thing. It's how people felt about Phantom Menace. People got properly angry. It's all make believe, and it's his story to do what he wants with it. But with the Muppets, it's not their story to do, because the man who created the Muppets isn't around anymore, and most of the performers aren't around anymore. So, you know, they really are sort of holding gold there, and they're treating it like shit. I do believe that. Mm-hmm. I really do. So disappointed in what's happened with the Muppets. So I've started saying that I like Jim Henson's Muppets.
Right.
And that's it. Not Disney Muppets. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Disney particularly, but just, you know.
Well, it's 42 years old. It's very important. Talking of puppets, if you had to go for a week's holiday with one of the puppets from Spitting Image, which of the puppets from Spitting Image would you choose? Bear in mind that the puppet would choose the destination that you were going to. Bear in mind also that you would be going on holiday with the puppet, the puppeteer and the voice artist, but you would never be able to talk to them as themselves. They would always remain in character.
Yeah.
And then you'd be on holiday for a week with one of the Spitting Image puppets. Which one would it be?
I'm more interested in finding out how you arrived at that. I'm more interested in what day it was, where you were, how happy you were with the question when you thought, I'm going to have that. I'm going to have that as a question.
I'm very happy with the question. I can't remember. Andy McCaitch likes this question. Can you remember where it came from? No.
Did he come up with it in a show?
No, I don't think I did. I think I wrote it in my book, and then I've drawn it. Well, I drew a circle around it because Andy McCaitch likes it, and I forgot to do it. And, Andy McCaitch is very much my sounding board of a rehearsed person.
Okay, got you.
Audience member.
I like Chris Barry.
Yeah.
Because I work with Chris, I like Chris, and he's a nice man.
You wouldn't be able to talk to Chris Barry as himself. That's he would fine. Be in character.
But would he have to maintain the personality of the character as well?
I presume he'd be sitting...
I'd set Thatcher then. I wouldn't be responsible for my
Steve
actions.
With Steve Nallen.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to shout in her face.
Yeah.
I'd enjoy that. So that... Would if you, that's the nearest I can get to Thatcher, which he obviously isn't.
To shout in her face, did you say? Yeah. Would you...
Coogan was in there, wasn't he?
Coogan might have done...
Coogan was on Spitting Image.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He was, so one of Coogan's ones.
Well, which one?
I adore Steve Coogan, and because even more now, because I read his autobiography, cover to cover, in about 4 hours.
Right.
Like, I don't mean it's, like, thin. I mean, like, I ploughed through it. I was loving it, and honestly, it was like, I was enjoying it a lot anyway.
Yeah.
And then it got to the moment about saying about that you came up with Alan Partridge. And it just says, let me be clear. They did not. And I was that far off texting you at 4 a.m. just with a photo of it. Highlighted.
We didn't. He's correct.
I know.
I thought about, I don't know if I might, sorry, I forget week by week what I've talked about, but it was his birthday party recently. I went to his birthday party and I was thinking, what to get? What do you get Steve Coogan as for a birthday present? And I was going to just write him a card saying, I hereby withdraw all rights.
In a frame, that'd be lovely. Yeah, that'd be really nice.
But then I thought, I don't know. What if somewhere down the line, some clever lawyer, then he gets that out and then I've lost, you know.
I'd have just got him his own book. There he goes, £9.98. It saves me. Why 98? I don't know, but it was. I'll tell you what you should also do as well, if you've not done it already, because at the time that we're recording this, you've got your Kickstarter thing. Is it Kickstarter or crowdfunding, yeah, whatever, for your stupid snooker thing?
The snooker thing. It's getting very close to the...
Mate, like, genuinely, we should do this. You've got, what, 4 days left?
Yeah.
Honestly, my missus or girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, right... is so good at Photoshop, like so good at it. And we should do a homepage that says you've reached the amount,
yeah,
and you should tweet it. Just tweet it out and go, this is unbelievable. And so many people be going, I've not got 60 grand! Oh my God! It would shit up so many people.
Unfortunately, I think they're all in this room. So.
Right, well, you're all sworn to secrecy.
The thing
that's
is,
a good
it's
point.
Not.
I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, people, fucking all them, aren't they? Yeah, yeah.
People can withdraw their. The problem with it, people can withdraw their pledge at any time. That makes it.
But can they withdraw their pledge after it's completed?
I think so.
Surely not.
Andy McH put in $5,000, and then his credit card company got in touch with him. This happened to someone else. The fraud department got in touch with him to say, "What is this? Why have you?" And they haven't even taken the
money. That's amazing.
That's you know, you pledge the money against the thing. You only get the money on Kickstarter if you make the whole total. So that's the joke.
Yeah.
Of what I'm doing. it's on 60,000 at the moment. There's 940,000.
But that's mental anyway.
Yeah,
really?
That is mental.
Yeah, that's really.
And like, I think about 30,000 of that is is genuine.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
There's
it's
loads
not,
of people
no, Rich,
pledging
not.
20
no,
Why would you pledge
nobody's
20
Nobody's going to put money towards enforcing and encouraging your latent schizophrenia. It's not going to be a thing where they're going to go, let's make him do it more.
I think some of the 5,000 people will pay you their £5,000 if it came to that. But the problem is you can be that. What's the point of that? If you can withdraw your... It would be exciting if you put 5,000 in and then it suddenly started building and you'd be going, oh my God, I'm going to lose everything and be cast out of my house and just because of Richard Herring. And then I'll be sitting there laughing with all the money.
Yeah, but I don't know if you know this, but they didn't set up that site so you could do a joke on it. It was like... that site does operate in that way for real things. So that's what the flaw is with that. Well, what's the point in having a site where you can pretend you're raising money? It's like, no, that's not what it is. You are raising money on that site, but people think it won't hit the target. So if they think it has hit the target, mate, yeah, they'll...
Yeah, okay, we could give it a go.
I'm up for it. I think it'd be hilarious.
What I quite like is I get spam email things from people like through Kickstarter who are pretending that they're writing to me individually, like going, oh, I see you're doing really well. You've got 200 people. So and let me help you market this or whatever.
Right, okay.
But you're kind of going, yeah, you must be excited. You've got 200 people.
Could you not say to them, okay, well, what I'll do then is I'll give you 20% of it if you market it for me. And they'll go, well, he's already got 60 grand. And then they'll go market it.
I bet they wouldn't do it that way. I bet they'd make you pay to market.
Up front.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just human nature.
Isn't it? Sad, isn't it?
Why do elephants have such low rates of cancer?
Age-old question, isn't it, Rich? It's like, I don't know. It's probably something to do with biology.
It is partly to do with that, yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Oh, why? Okay. They don't smoke.
That is one of the reasons.
They... I was going to say they're thick-skinned, but I don't know. That. As if people get cancer by osmosis. I don't know. I'm interested.
Well, it's because... because a lot of elephants will die of other causes. I think that would be a part of the thing. So
they don't live
with
long
human beings,
to get
they
it.
Live a long time, and then so they get cancers.
Don't but elephants actually... live like to 100 or something, though?
Yeah, they could
do
that.
I said that with authority, and I've got no clue. Do they? Yeah, do they?
Some men went yes, and they didn't know that one of the princes in the towers probably called Richard. I forgot to check. It's because they have 20 TP53 gene alarms to the humans' ones. They're like the smoke detectors of the gene world.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Can you name another animal that is cancer resistant?
It's amazing because I see a little glimmer in your eye I'm going to ask him if he knows another one. leopard. What? Shark. Nice. Good call.
No.
You've said enough. No.
It is.
Tortoise. Tortoise.
No. It is the naked mole rat.
The naked mole rat. Yeah, okay. Same reason.
I don't know. Now, you do a podcast about ghosts.
Yes, I do.
This is the Parapod. Is that what it's called?
The Parapod, yeah.
I'm quite obsessed with ghosts, and you are a skeptic, I would say, from the podcast.
Well, yeah, I don't even like that word because that word implies that it still might be in doubt. It's like I'm not like I'm like no, it's not like.
But have you ever seen a ghost though?
The answer to that question may surprise you.
Right, okay.
I have seen two things. When does this go out?
February, I think.
Fine. So, me and Barry Dodds, who I do the Parapod with, who believes in them,
unquestionably,
he proper believes in it. We went to a quote-unquote haunted house last week.
Yep.
Which is in... It's the one that Most Haunted went to recently. It's 30 East Drive in Pontefract in Yorkshire. And it was weird. Like, it was weird. And it's all there on the recording.
Right.
And things moved and stuff happened. And I had... He's not clever enough to do that. Like, clandestine, you know?
Yeah.
There was one point where I said, I don't believe there's not another person in this house. Living person.
Yeah.
Because I arrived after him. He was there first. So everything logic in my head was going, I don't believe there's not another person in this house. I've not looked in the wardrobes. I've not looked in the loft. I've been around the house, but I've not seen everywhere, under the beds and all the rest of it. And I went up and did that, and there was no one there. And then it was like, I don't know how to explain it. We're doing two specials at Christmas, which will have been out now when you listen to this. And the first one still scares me listening to it. And it's quite weird that listening to something that's supposed to be a comedy podcast, and you're like, this is fucking terrifying. and it's only the audio as well, which I think makes you do more work when you're listening to it.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting experience, that. And I've got to go back again in February. I've got to go again.
I mean, the ghosts will not like you as well, because you don't believe in them. They'll be angry.
This is the thing. I felt like the ghost, if there was one, did like me. I felt like it did, right. But it thought, that's a man after my own heart, that. Right?
Because if I was alive, I wouldn't believe in ghosts. That's
but he's a proper troublemaker, and I like that.
Okay.
He wants to push Barry through the window as well. I like that. That was my argument with Most Haunted, because Most Haunted went in there, and they did a live Most Haunted from there. Genuinely ludicrous. Like, ludicrous what they were doing in there. And it was all... And they're not good enough actors. That's the thing with it, is they're not good enough actors to carry it off. Some of them do it quite well. But otherwise, the bald bloke who's in Most Haunted, I don't know what his name is. He might never have seen it, but there's a weird bald bloke. Looks like Uncle Fester. And he just does look like that. And there was a bit where they were trying to provoke... It's called Fred the Ghost. It's not his real name, but he answers to it. And they were saying, do something, Fred. Do. I don't think they were even saying Fred at the time. They were saying, do something to Carl, do something to whoever, do something to whoever. And nothing was happening. The bald bloke just suddenly goes, do something evil to me. And it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, it makes me wonder. I go, if he's like a genuine special, they shouldn't be taking him in. If he's a real one, that's not funny. Like, if they're taking him round. I don't know if he is or not, but it was a moment of like, oh, are they taking advantage of this man? Like, they were doing ridiculous things in there on the live one. And Barry said to me, even Barry was saying, this is stupid. And I said, here's the thing, though, Barry, is you believe there's a ghost in that house. There's a monk from years and years back who did abhorrent things to children. He was buried in a well underneath the house. That's the story behind it. And I said, so you're saying to me that on the night that Most Haunted were in there, when there was shitloads of plugs and power and stuff, and he always says to me, they feed on power. They feed on, it's like there's big lights and stuff, should it be as most potent? You're telling me that on the night that Most Haunted did and faked it, that ghost paused its haunting. that ghost went, nah, I won't do it tonight. Like, you'd be chucking them off the walls. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, why would it pause its haunting? And that for me was further confirmation in what I believe, that it's just not real.
But ghosts depend on the ambiguity of whether they exist or not. If one appeared, that would ruin it, because then we would know they were definitely real. And they live in the hinterland.
I wish you could see your stupid face at the moment. Like, just quite how pleased with yourself you are over an argument you've not even thought through yourself yet. Just go, no, but I think you'll find... Go. They don't. You know
they
as well as
anyone.
They
live in the hinterland and they need that. So they need you to... No, they need to have the...
They need you to doubt it.
Well, they need to not be... If it's true, it's like God, and if God comes down and goes, yep, here I am, what are you going to do about it? That ruins it, doesn't it?
Ruins what? What does it ruin?
All religion, because A, it's about faith, but B, it means everyone goes, oh, I was wrong. It's a different God than I thought
it was. But do you
not
think that if there was one omnipresent God, which I also don't believe, but if there was, regardless of which religion that is the one that... Or it might be a new one that no one's thought of yet. But if there is one...
don't
try and think of one.
It's a stone. It's the
stone religion. That's right, Richard. And that God could just go, can you stop doing this?
Yeah.
Look, I'm it, all right? It's me, all right? Carry on. I don't give a shit what you do, really, but don't fight in other mystery ones' names. You know, surely you would if you had that power, surely.
Yeah, God's a cunt. Definitely. That's all that proves.
Like Kermit.
The new Kermit.
The new Kermit.
Well, I think, like, with the ISIS or Daesh or whatever we're meant to call them now. Daesh, you're meant to call them.
Okay.
Because that means that's insulting to them, whereas calling them Islamic
State.
It's
a good week for this, Richard.
It's going out in the future and they won't have done anything in the interim. They'll be definitely wiped out by now. That is President Obama promised me, so I believe him. What was I going to say? Well, if I was the god of ISIS, right? I would go. Why is all the people who don't believe in my God live in a much nicer place than I'm living in? Right. That's what. If my God's the real one, why didn't we win the Crusades? And why do we live in the middle of a horrible desert with nothing around and no iPads and stuff? What are you looking at me like that? He's having to go ISIS now. What I'm saying is their God's not all that good, is it, compared to our God has given us less square.
Do you want me to quote back to you what you've just said?
I do.
If
he is their God, he doesn't like them very much, does he? They'll get him blown up and stuff.
Horrific as it would be, it would be amazing to use. I mean, not the very bad ones, but it'd be amazing to have like one of the ISIS propaganda videos. You know, I don't mean when they're doing horrible things. I mean, when they're just showing the camps and all that sort of thing, and then just do it like with CGI. Just have you wandering around the background going, "Well, why is our God not doing things?" Like this little random ISIS man, but it's you.
Yeah,
that fucking. I'd be up for doing that. She could probably do that as well.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to.
If you'll film it.
Don't want to get into trouble.
No. Just say it publicly in the middle of London.
Do you think having sex with a ghost would count as cheating? If you were in a relationship with someone else and you had sex with a ghost?
Shall I pretend that I believe in ghosts for this question?
Yeah.
Yes, it would. Yes, of course it would.
What if the ghost is... You wake up and the ghost is having sex with you already, and you have
being raped by a ghost.
I don't think a ghost is morally able to.
No, there is a history of that.
There is
amongst people who believe in all that sort of thing. In fact, what was that film? I forget what the film was called, but it's based on a real
ghost.
Story. No, not Ghost. Are we going to go Ghostbusters? Was it Ghostbusters? I can't remember the name of the film. The Entity, I think it was called, and it was based on a lady called Doris Bither. Was her name. And she, we actually covered her in the Parapod very briefly because I didn't want to tell the full story of it, but because I didn't want to ruin our podcast, but I'll ruin yours. she claimed to have been raped by ghosts. That was part of it. But Doris Bither was, we didn't talk about that on the, we said you can go and Google it, you'll find out stuff about it. And she claimed she was raped by ghosts. But from all accounts, a very tragic figure, Doris Bither, you know, and was sort of, as is often the case with ghost stories, and the same with like the Enfield haunting and stuff like that, is I always think there's usually someone at the centre of it. If you look very closely, you can see there's somebody involved in the story, and you go, well, what are you benefiting from all this? You know, and yet you're the loudest and you're the one who, you know, there's often someone who I feel is steering the ship. And the Doris Bither thing, she was, they had photos of her with like marks over her head and all this. So there were just problems on the film. But And people say, no, this is real, and Kodak have looked at it, they've said there's nothing wrong with it, and all this sort of business going on. And but what they never mentioned was she was an alcoholic, she'd been destitute for a long time. You know, she was making some money out of it at that time, but a pittance compared to what people around her were making. And that in every occurrence of them supposedly filming a live thing happening to her, she was like three sheets to the wind. She was proper drunk in that, but they keep it quiet, that she was in a bad way. So I think there's a genuine, like, malevolent side to the mythology of ghosts. And so according to her, you could be raped by a ghost.
What if you woke up
and the ghost was trying to have a conversation.
Ghost.
Wait, go
the
on.
Ghost is already having sex with you. You haven't consented.
Is that sex, is it?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you haven't consented, but having woken up, you find you don't mind.
I mean, fuck me. Now use that argument in real life.
It's a ghost.
Yeah, now use that argument in court.
It's a ghost.
Over a real occurrence. And see what people, fucking feminist herring over here. Well, what if you start enjoying it halfway through? Let's not go there,
Richard. The ghost is a woman. You didn't think that through.
Oh, the ghost. So, I see. All right, okay.
So the ghost having sex and you go, actually, I don't
mind.
Well,
that happens in Ghostbusters, yeah, doesn't exactly it? It does happen in Ghostbusters.
So
Dan Aykroyd wakes up and his flies are being
undone. It happened to me. That's why I'm putting it there. There was a hag, old woman, trying to strangle me, but it's the start. That's sex starts.
Do you know what? Somebody trying to strangle you is a start. I agree with that.
But I'm in
is
a
that right?
I'm
sorry.
Married.
Are we talking too loud for your conversation? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's like we're being.
I was speaking too much already.
You've got a bad voice. You should be quiet because you should be rest. Yeah, you should rest that.
Why is she being so aggressive?
God, just for.
Because there's a show on. I know. How awful of me to say be quiet when there's people, there's like 200 people around you. Ah, fuck it, there's audio. 500 people around you who've all paid to get in as well, but all they can hear, the people around you, all they can hear is you talking. Be a man about this. Answer truthfully. Is she getting on your tits? Yeah. Why is it always me? Fucking hell. You wait till you see the ratings for this fucker. What? I'm listening. Slam you. See what you've got them in the reds now. What's offensive? You think I'm speaking in an offensive manner about women generally? What? No, what bit? What bit? When?
I don't think he has.
What bit? No, quote back to me. What?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, we will. Quote it back to me, what I said. It's good that you're keeping control of this, by the way.
Well, I'm
honestly, I think he wants his badge back. What have I said offensive about women? What have I said offensive about women?
I don't.
No, answer that question. What have I said offensive about women?
Well, earlier you made a little comment where you're like, you've spoken enough. You didn't even look at me. You were like,
oh, whoa. So you think because I told you to be quiet. Whoa. Isn't this amazing? Can someone tell Hal Cruttendon his show's cancelled? So you think because you're a woman and I said, don't talk when there's a show on, that I was being offensive about women?
I have to say, I think she's right. I think maybe.
I mean, tell me honestly right now. Tell me honestly right now, before I continue this. Yeah. Have you moved into the you've been, like, that sort of. The hidden camera podcast?
It is.
That, like, you, before I got it, was like, so you say this, right? And then you say this. I've not said anything offensive at all. So you're angry because I've not said if I'm married or not? Well, because you said I'm not your wife, I wouldn't be angry. All I thought was then if I wasn't married, she could be. So yes, I am. Yes, very, very married. Very, very yes, married. You've still not answered what I said offends. I'm genuinely interested to know because I had a row at a gig last night.
Yeah.
And I'm I did. I'll show you on my phone. I filmed the woman leaving, okay. Right? It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. What would we have to do to make you leave? No, it's not. But no, I'm not. I don't think I've said anything offensive. I'm not turning the.
I've said quite a lot of offensive things that I'd quite like to take back.
What did I say?
I
want to know what it was.
I think if anything, you've calmed me down a bit. I think you've been. When I've said something bad, you've told me off. That seems to be what's happened so far.
Now, be confident in your argument because we are filming and recording it, so we can go back. Of what? This is all because I told you to be quiet because you were talking, isn't it? That's all this is about.
Wow, okay.
Is that all it's about, really?
We came here wanting to enjoy this experience.
Same. And you've not enjoyed it?
It's all right,
I'm sulky. Okay, that's fine. So you came here wanting to enjoy the experience and you, because you haven't enjoyed it. So, okay, that's fine. Don't make it. He's here though, so don't make it. And because you've not enjoyed it, you thought I'm going to shout and scream and talk all the way through it. You talked all the way through it, though. That's true. No, you did. Say again.
I said yes, they don't.
Thank you. And she's closer to you than me. No, I've got, honestly, I've got... Do you know who I blame, genuinely? Fucking Simon Cowell.
Really?
I genuinely do, is that... My heart sinks with that.
Yeah.
Like, it genuinely does, because it's that thing of, like, the Cowell's cultivated a society of that. Of people sat going, I don't like this, fuck off! like genuinely, do you know what I mean? So that sort of thing and that sort of behaviour. Do you have children, by the way? If your children behaved how you'd behaved here tonight, would you bollock them?
No.
You fucking should. You absolutely should. You should. Your behaviour's appalling. Your behaviour's appalling. And this is... So this
Look,
is
in a way, we've all done... They've talked. You've been... Sexist.
I've been talking!
you've been very sexist. I've sat here and I've hardly said anything offensive to
anyone.
It's been... You know, it's... I've...
But in real life,
yeah.
Like in real life, I know.
It is real life. That is true.
Have you got a list of your guests on the show today? Were they in it?
They're not in my list.
In real life, it genuinely it makes me both angry and despairing. It really does. It really, the behaviour of audiences, and it's always minorities. They're normally drunk. And it's I see that right now. I despair of it. I mean, it's normally a small part of the audience. That's what I mean by minorities. I don't mean it's always the blacks, isn't it? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, amongst a lot of people, it's always small minorities who ruin the show for everybody else. That's what the issue is here, right? Now, the only reason he's keeping quiet is because you bought his fucking badge. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. We've seen him talking to that bus driver on YouTube. We know what he's capable of in these situations. But he's quite happy to wind me up and let me go. Because he knows that he can always go, well, I don't know what happened with Ray that night. And he'll cut it so that it's like me sitting down and going, fucking hell, what's your problem? And he goes, I've not been offensive about women or anybody else for that matter. I've been speaking to my pal over here. He asked me the questions. Shut up. Some of them were very offensive questions, but I understand what he's doing, so we played along with it. I took the tone of going, I'm not going to join him. We'll also think, I'll pretend really. That I'm bothered about it. And he said all the other things as well. I've not said one offensive thing, but I fucking can. I can.
We can do a
and
little...
by the way, you. This is the important bit, the very important bit. You don't get a say in it. You just don't. You can say outside afterwards, but when the lights are on, I do enjoy the power. Fucking love it. Fucking love it.
Let's just do a little straw poll. Who, if you think Ray has been sexist today, could you cheer now?
So even, I've been what?
Even
I've you, been what?
You've
been what?
Sexy. I've asked
sexy.
You
sexy. 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 If you think Ray has been sexy, can you cheer now?
I think it's just...
This isn't what I wanted to talk about either.
There's been some cross wires, that's all it is.
But that's what can happen.
She's got a bad voice.
If you're not listening, that's what can happen. You can misunderstand. If you're too busy chatting and you're not actually listening to what's going on. I had a woman last night, and it doesn't matter that she's a woman, but she happened to be, who got right in my face last night. They'd walked out of the gig, and I was around the side, and Joe Bohr was on stage, right? They'd been horrible all night, been shouting out all night, and they walked out, and she got right in my face, and she went, "All of you have been horrible to us tonight." And I went, What did we say? And again, it was another thing she said. All we said was just stop talking when the acts are on. That's all we said. No, you were all racist, right? And I went... I wasn't. I've not mentioned race all night at all. One of the acts had. Yeah. It was kind of a clever joke what he'd done, but he had mentioned race. And that act was next to me at that point. And she went, "You were all racist." And I went, "Tell me what I said," like I did with that. I said, "Tell me," not that, as in that situation. with that minority there. And I said, tell me what we said that was racist. And she went, "I don't know what any of you said. I just know that you were racist." I'm like, fucking out the door. Go. Yeah. Go.
Well, history will judge this podcast. Only there was some evidence of what you said, man, and what you didn't say. There's no way.
Do you know what?
People will know.
Do you know what?
Even
though I did it as a joke, yeah. I'm fucking so glad I recorded this. I've got the full copy of it. I've got the full copy of it. I might even put it out before you do. Unedited. Unedited.
Oh, God.
Fuck me. This fucking society. Don't you despair, man.
It's an annoyance for stand-up comedy. Not usually, I have to say, at 5:30 on a Sunday afternoon. It's usually quite all right. Usually
it's when people get upset about something they've half heard. And that happens in society, generally speaking, as well. Yeah. Something it's that classic knee-jerk. Well, what did you say about that? It's like, well, listen, you listen what I said.
Yeah.
No, there was nothing offensive in there at all. And it's like, and you just have that. It genuinely depresses me. Like, genuinely, I mean real-life depression.
Yeah.
It genuinely depresses me that we, people who go out onto a stage... now have that to contend with on top of everything else. Like, it really does, to the point where I was just like, I'm not doing it anymore. Like, earlier this year, I was like, I'm not doing it anymore, I'm going to do a new podcast. I started doing I write for a rugby league magazine, because I love rugby league. I set up the Parapod, because I love that, and I was like, I just don't want to go out in front of people anymore. I just don't enjoy it at all, because of things like that. Like, genuinely is that. And part of you thinks, well, then they've won, you know, they've got to you, and they've made you stop. But it had a genuine real life damaging effect on me as a human being. Like it did. I was going home and doing all sorts of things, and it was mainly because you feel like when we recorded the extra thing there before around the back, and I said to you that you don't want to be. I don't mind people thinking I'm a cunt if I am one, but I do have an issue with it when people just decide you are. It genuinely feels like the equivalent of somebody thinking you're a paedophile when you're not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like it's that hurtful. It's that hurtful to you as a person, and it's that. The last 18 months, on top of lots of other things as well, that really started to go in. Where I was saying, this year I'm packing and doing gigs at Christmas, and next year I've got very few gigs in, really, by choice. But I don't think I've planned it necessarily correctly to cover it. But I'm all right. I can survive for a bit without doing gigs.
Yeah. Well, that'd be...
Like Stuart Lee that time.
It'd be a shame if that... I mean, I can completely understand it, and I understand that it's... I think that the issue is people... Like and much more likely to jump to be offended by things or want to be offended by things now. And I think that's partly down to social media... And so, like, within comedy, it should be... I certainly don't think you've said anything particularly bad. I think I genuinely think I've said some things that, if you took them at face value, would be awful. But I want to be...
Thinking back, I think the worst thing I said was that Noel Edmonds was a cunt.
Yeah.
Thinking back... But I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I've actually been quite...
What's nice about this podcast, I think, is this sort of safe space to...
It's not.
Be able to,
it's not.
No, but it is. But it sort of, but it sort of has been. It has escaped all of that, because people who don't like me or don't like that kind of comedy won't generally come and listen to it or come and see it. So we can carry on doing that. And the people who do, because it's live, you take some risks and it comes out sometimes come from, and I don't think, you know, if anything's come out wrong, it's come from this side of the
stage. No,
but it has, you know, that's not what
we both know what's happening.
I know.
But yeah, the problem with that, with the podcast format and that, is it is freeing. It's very freeing. So when you do something like, so when you make it live, and we've done live podcasts. In fact, I believe I did live podcasts before you. And here, but downstairs in a much smaller room. I think what happens then is people confuse it for a rehearsed performance. So if no, someone went rehearse the. Oh, no, I wasn't saying it. It was saying rehearse. Sorry, my bad. Fucking amazing. Not a GCSE amongst them. Your fans of the. I think the reason that we do it is because we don't want to be told at any point. You can't say that. You can't do that. And if we were, you know, doing telly or radio or whatever, you know, commercial radio, or BBC radio for that matter, it'd be like, no, you can't. You've got to say that differently. You've got to say that differently. And it's like, and I think you get to an age, and I've certainly got to it, and I know you've soared past it. I mean an age of maturity is what I actually mean, is that you just go, I can't be arsed with that. Can't be arsed with into what I can and can't say. So I'm going to say what I want. I'll, you know, live or die by it, and I'll risk it. And I edit our podcast as well. So I go, I might take that out, I might not, depending on, you know, whatever decency level you're working at on that day. And the issue is when you bring that into real life, is that... I don't know, like in that situation that's just occurred that we all thoroughly enjoyed, there's that feeling of where you just go, well, that's fine. Even if you're upset, that's fine. But do it after at the door, or do it on social media if you want, and you know, see how that goes. But to actually interrupt an actual show, like a show that's happening, to interrupt that show. And to talk all the way through that show when there's like people around you who are observing the rules of the theatre and who are being, you know, polite, not just to us, but to other, more importantly, to other paying customers. Yeah. And to still think you're in the right genuinely makes me want to slash my wrists. Like, it really does, that sort of person exists. It genuinely wants to make, I despair of it. I'm glad it's a minority, but I still despair of it that it even exists.
Yeah, but I think it, you know, that some drink has been taken and that changes people's perception. Well, clearly, you know, clearly whatever's happened, two people perceived this evening in a different way than the other, I think.
You're still thinking about the badges, aren't you?
No. You've got your quid already. But, you know, it's interesting that two people can watch a performance that 150 people have watched, and I don't think people would think the same as those two people.
It's not a performance for a kickoff. No. It's not a performance. No. It's a chat.
Yeah.
So, really, in the society we live in, with freedom of speech, you can never criticise anybody talking about anything ever. You just can't. You can't. We can discuss now whatever we want. Whatever we want. That's absolutely fine. Now, if it upsets you, it can upset. And it's not a cult, even though it feels like one with your badges. But, you know... That's the scary bit. It's the only time they stop talking. It's going to be... you can leave at any point. Yeah. So if you're not enjoying it, you can vote with your feet. You can just fuck off and go. But it's like being sat in a cinema and shouting at a film. It's like, what are you doing? There's other people there who are enjoying it or are certainly engaged in it, even if they're not enjoying it or, you know... Honestly.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating, and I won't do it. I could genuinely cry. I really could.
But you're a very sensitive man, and you know your latest show explores that. Your last show explored that in some detail. I don't necessarily want to talk about that right
Let's
now.
Let's talk about it. Did well for Stephen Fry.
We can do. It did well for Stephen Fry.
Are you on time? You've got
we got. We have got time. Yeah. I just don't want to start talking about it if we didn't have time. But so you talk about your depression in that show.
Yeah, but it wasn't a show about depression.
No.
It wasn't like, come and see the sad boy. It wasn't like Rent-A-Sad. It was like, it was about how I was acting in real life, and that was an underlying thing that was going on, and that became apparent. And by the way, not a manipulative way particularly. All shows are manipulative, but you know what I mean? I didn't write it that way.
No.
It came out that way, and it just sort of like, it became clear to me as I was talking about stuff and being a troublemaker and very funny, silly stories about things I was doing, that there was an underlying like mental illness, you know, that was going on. And I became very, very happy to display it, if that makes sense, and not in a. I never want to be known as the sad comic or the, you know, the, oh, he's got depression or he's this, that, or the other, you know. It was impulsive nonconformity disorder is one of the things that was suggested it was, which I don't even know if that's a real thing, which is that I can't, case in point, everything, and you tried to do it, it's like, just ignore it, right? But I can't, because the thing to do in there is to... My girlfriend said to me, or wife said to me last night, said to me as we were driving home last night after this ruckus at this gig, and I honestly said, and I was genuinely emotionally upset, and I said, why is it always me? Why does this always happen to me? And she said to me, it's actually, I think, very complimentary to you. And I said, why? And she said, the thing is you don't let people get away with it. So if someone's chatting in a gig, you call them on it. Or if someone's disrupting the audience, you call them on it. Whereas there's other comics who will go on and will just plough through their set and speak over it and speak louder over it and all that sort of thing. And she said, because of my sense of fairness that I have, that I have it in spades, this sense of fairness that I don't like anything unjust, or like anything that I feel like that would upset, you know, more people, is that I can't, I actually can't let someone being rude... Mm-hmm. get away with it, especially not when I've got a microphone in my hand, especially not then.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you, and it's not an ego thing, and it's not a chucking my weight around thing, it's nothing like that at all. It's literally that I've been in cinemas when a light has gone up there and you're like, they're on the fucking phone, and I'm watching it, where a light, oh, you've heard, and you're like, fuck, I'm what? But I've paid for a ticket as well.
Yeah.
And because I've been in that situation so many times, I've been angry at so many gigs, because people just can't behave and just can't. It's not a long time, is it? You know, it's not a long time. So it's just that. So on the subject of the last show, it was clear that I wasn't well. And it was clear that year that I wasn't well. And I perhaps shouldn't have gone to Edinburgh that year.
Yeah.
Because I had several attempts at that business, and I had... my Twitter was a fucking minefield. I had several people trying to wrestle my password off me at any given time, because I was tweeting all sorts of shit, you know, and never anything nasty, just all like weird clues. it was quite bizarre, you know.
Yeah.
And my manager was calling up and just giving it all this. We've had bookers ring up and they're worried about you. You know, think you've gone mental. I'm like, I fucking have. Put the phone out, you know, And the problem with when you get into a suicidal state, which I've been in my life, but it's not a new thing for me. That's happened over many years. That has, but last year was a proper fucking potent time of it, and I can never explain it better than Fry did on this. You know, he certainly was far more eloquent than me and swore less, and it just. But it's there's something. Have you ever been in that situation?
I mean, I don't think to the same extent, you know. But I think the thing is, like, Edinburgh was, you know, I had a very bad Edinburgh.
Yeah, you did.
You know, it's really.
But me and you were fighting.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do that normally. No. So, and I was fucking like on Twitter saying about you having stickers over posts and shit. You know, I was getting genuinely angry.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't bother me any other year.
No.
And me and you were like, I remember you ringing me going, it's a joke. I was like, I know it's a joke, Rich, but fuck it. And that I was on that fucking level all the time.
But I mean, it's so heightened in Edinburgh as well. So if you're in that, if you have a fragile mental state on top of that, I mean, I was very unhappy in that.
Yeah, no, I know you were.
I have a lot of things that I have to stay alive for. So that I
absolutely, know, but you do go through. They do say if you even go through a fleeting thought of I'm going to chuck myself off that bridge, that you need to look at that.
Okay,
you know,
well, and I've definitely thought that.
Yeah,
Edinburgh.
Yeah, it's fucking nothing but bridges. But by the time the Fringe came round, I'd levelled in terms of that.
Yeah,
that was all out of the way. There's only one funny one. Was that what had happened was Ed Gamble had been to my house. So anyway, I was meant to be going to a concert with somebody, and then we fell out with each other, and we didn't go to the concert. And then that person then went to the concert. So on that, which really upset me, it bothered me that they still went to the concert. And that night, Ed came to my house because they were worried about me, and he sat with me, and I did brilliant acting. That was all right.
Yeah.
And he left, and I was living in this little shitty one bedroom flat at the time, in Luton, and which is where I'd ended up for, you know, various reasons, and. It's weird that it was only last year. And Ed went, and I'd heard about... You might have to cut this. I don't like doing this in terms of... I don't like giving the
the method away. I sort of semi-knew someone who'd done away with himself, who they'd done it by, they'd lit fire lighters in an enclosed space, which takes all the oxygen out of the room, fills it with carbon monoxide, and you go to sleep forever, right? I had some fire lighters at my house. Between having the idea and doing it was maybe 30 seconds, and I ran into the kitchen, I got these fire lighters from another sink. I lit them as I was running back to the bathroom, right? Chucked them in the sink, and then I was like, oh, I need towels, I need to block it all off, because otherwise it can get out. So I turned the light on, walked back into the bedroom, got some towels, went back into the bathroom, shut the door, put the towels on the floor, lay myself down, right? Fucking ready. That's me. Ready for the off. I'm going. This will get me on the front page of Chortle. Fuck the lot of them. Right? I lay there in silence. Or I thought it was silence. This was the most I laughed last year, right? Because I became very aware that I could hear... And I opened my eyes. And I realised that in my shitty new flat... When you turn the bathroom light on, it starts the extractor fan, yeah. Right? Which then stays on for 25 minutes after you've turned it off. And I lay there laughing, like hysterical, going, I can't even do that right. And honestly, you couldn't have CGI'd it better. This fucking smoke just went... It was incredible. Incredible. So, but that was the only funny one. But it was, but even within that darkness, I'm still very impish and I'm still very mischievous. So very, the moods change very, very fast. And I guess it'd be the definition of bipolar, really, on some levels. It'd be, you know, that you scoot from mood to mood. But I'm not sure I'm in the right job for that.
Well, that,
like, I'm really not.
It may not be, but you are very good at the job. That's the, you know, you're a very good stand-up. It's a shame if you want to give up stand-up, but if you have to give up stand-up for those reasons, then it's not worth, you know, dying, dying over.
There's plenty of.
Yeah, they have, I was in a fairly good mental state last year, and Edinburgh...
I thought you were going to say before we started. I was feeling all right earlier on.
But Edinburgh kind of, you know, took me... You know, I was with Christian. Christian Riley was in my show at the end, and he'd be at the... it's going so tough. And then I'd walk through the curtains and then just do a really full... You know, I'd really perform it for that hour. But off stage, I was just like...
How exhausting is that? And that was the other thing that happened in that frame. The show was called Here Comes Trouble, and from the poster you would never guess it was going to... Because I did start talking about all that business in the show as it went on, and you'd never guess from the poster it was going to be that sort of show. And I like to think it was a funny show, and it was very silly, and there was childish, and, you know, had the spirit of stuff that I'd done before in it, as well as a bit of maturity to it as well. And the thing I didn't take into account is that I was talking about very dark moments in my life on stage. And when I tell stories on stage as a stand-up, because that's what I am, I've never written a joke in my life, I'm a storyteller, you know, and when I tell stories, in my head, I go to that place, so it's perhaps an acting thing as well, because I have an acting background, and you sort of like go through, it's a method thing, you go through it in your head, where you were, and you can almost, even when you're telling the audience, you can see the room, and you can see, you know, the situation. And what I hadn't reckoned into that was that I was going to dark places every night. Mm-hmm. So at the Fringe, and I'd never take a day off at the Fringe, you know, because I'm that sort of old school sort of thing, and I always want to do the whole run and the rest of it, except the last Monday. So you sort of, I was going to that dark place every night. So I found myself in the Fringe that year, slipping back into it. And I mean, I won't say I took solace from your misery, but there is a certain element of that in the Fringe. I don't mean you specifically. I mean, you do have that where you go, you sort of look forward to people bumping into you and saying how shit their night's been. You know what I mean? So you don't feel like it is only you.
Yeah.
And I was feeling very isolated, so it was nice to hear other people having bad times. Nice, in inverted commas. And I just didn't... I didn't reckon into it, going to that dark place every night, how much that would affect me. And I was exhausted after that Fringe. Mm. And I didn't really want to do the show again. And then I took it on tour, and it was far more bearable, because I made the show longer so I could explain more about it. I put it into two halves, and it was far more at my own pace, and rather than cramming it into an hour and trying to explain why you're suicidal. You know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, all those
things.
Yeah.
But again, I don't want to... even though I volunteered that information, I also don't want to be that person.
No.
But I think it's...
Well, you know,
I think it might be important. No, do you know, genuinely,
yeah, but it is, but...
for us sort of people, I think it genuinely might be important because we're quite good at talking to people, give or take, but we're quite good, do you know what I mean, at talking to people and getting through to people on a level that maybe other situations, we're more likely to convert an audience than a fucking politician is any day of the week.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I'd say, and I think, again, I think within the medium of podcasting as well, it's so intimate, and, you know, I think that, I mean, and stand-up is as well.
Yeah.
I think, I did talk about this with Louisa, I think, but, you know, it's that I get a lot of emails from people who say, you know, I've been through this tough time, and,
yeah.
And I'm sure you must as well. So by talking about it, I think it's very important, but I think a lot of people go through this.
Certainly. With the Peacock and Gamble podcast, when me and Ed did the old Peacock and Gamble podcast, because I'd speak about, we used to call it Stephen Fry Depression, long before you did it, and when I talk about depression, but in a very, you know, frivolous way. Yeah. I rarely talk about it like this. I'm normally, like, quite dismissive of it, really. So we used to get, and I still do when I do stand-up, I don't know about Ed, but I guess he probably does, normally single people, I mean, like, one person on their own.
Yeah.
Waiting after a gig, and I'd always, like, pick it a mile off. I'd be like, fucking depressed, definitely. Someone who wants to talk about that, and you do. You're happy to, you know. There's no issue with that at all. And you chat with people and stuff, and they'd spare their soul to you and all the rest of it. But I had one that fringe where I told that story about the extracts fan and stuff, and I came out after the gig, and there was a lad waiting for me, and I thought, yeah, definitely depression, all right. And I went over, he went, I really enjoyed the show. Can I ask you a question? I went, yeah, of course, man. Yeah, of course. He went, yeah, it's about the suicide attempt thing. And I was like, yeah, check me out. Fucking picked it, definitely. I went, yeah, of course. I thought, you know, he's been affected by it in some way in his real life. And I went, yeah, what's up? And he went, yeah, I was just wondering, why did you not just push your face in the smoke? And I was honestly going... Excuse me, yeah. Next time, thanks. And I don't think he meant it like that, you know what I mean? It's like, he got Asperger's on it. He goes, this doesn't make sense. And I can say Asperger's because my missus is Asperger's.
Well, unfortunately, this series of Rahal Lester Park.
Is this the end of the series?
No, it's not the end of the series.
But please tell me it's the last one.
Let's hope Richard Bacon's got something to top this with. Sorry, that wasn't a very good choice of words.
So he has been offensive all night.
We don't have limitless time because I'd love to talk to you for another hour about this.
We could do that in real life.
We will do. We'll go and talk about it. But
fuck these.
Thanks to you two, the plan worked perfectly to get him.
Get him angry. If you look at the video, when I get that angry, my lip goes a little bit.
Yeah.
And if you look at the video, I can guarantee it. Without my lip will be twitching, and that's where I'm at the fucking flash moment where it could. And I've genuinely got to control it. I've genuinely got to not let loose. It'd have been good for you, but not for me.
Okay. Well, look, it's been great. I hope you will carry on doing stand-up, unless
I won't.
Unless it makes you really unhappy, in which case...
No, but I'll do stuff. Yeah. I'll do, like, the podcast and stuff. I'm writing books. I'm
but your show, your Edinburgh shows and your with Ed and On Your Own are always my... I always go and see them, and they're always my favourite shows. So
I should come and see you one day,
you should
shouldn't
do,
I?
Yeah.
I feel quite bad about that now.
It's mainly just me sitting and letting someone else do the talking. Thank you very much. It's Ray Peacock, ladies and gentlemen. Good man. Thank you. Thank you. You have been listening to me, Richard Herring, and my Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. You had me in it. I am Richard Herring, and also Ray Peacock. It is a production that is good, and the music in it is my best. And there is also thank you to everyone at Go Faster Stripe and the Leicester Square Theatre and also the British Comedy Guide and everyone at iTunes, let's not forget them, and everyone at the RSS feed, whatever that is, thanks to them. It is produced by David Cribb. It is a Sky Potato Fuzz and Go Faster Stripe production for the internet. It's been quite good. Thanks for listening to the show. We're back in the summer with more Rehearlers. So why not go to the Leicester Square Theatre website, leicestersquaretheatre.com, and book some tickets to come and see
Who will the guests be? Who knows? But I hope to have some very exciting names. If you book ahead, your places are guaranteed. All of them are fun, even ones like today where the guest is really rubbish.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks for listening. richardherring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.